first question is, you know, your high school career, I believe running back, right? Played a lot of different positions as well. But come here, get moved into wide receiver. What was that transition like? Obviously, you knew what it was like to have the ball in your hands, so you kind of have that comfortability to it a little bit. But obviously, migrating to the boundary rather than, you know, under center is a little bit different. What was that transition like for you in terms of switching positions? Because a lot of people don't know Gage Florence was a running back coming into MSUM.
Yeah, in high school, I kind of bounced around. Mostly played running back, got split out and play wide receiver depending on the plays and stuff. But when I was like a junior in high school, when I knew like college football is what I wanted to do, I kind of thought, I don't think I want to play running back in college. I thought that I would want to play receiver in college, and I thought that was something I could excel in and enjoyed a lot. So when I got to college, I just tried to soak up as much information as I could, like from the older guys in the room, whether it was Grady or Biebs or some of the older receivers. So I clung to their hip and just tried to get as much information from them as I could, because I knew obviously it was something that was a little bit foreign to me for sure. And then obviously when I go back and look back to high school versus now, like the way I played wide receiver in high school when I was split out was very poor. Just kind of just being athletic and just trying to run past somebody. And then as I got to college, being able to develop and learn the ins and outs of it definitely was something that was a shock right away, but was able to adjust pretty fast.
And how much, you know, I think the one thing that comes up time and time again when I get asked about you or when other people are talking about you, whether it be Coach Lockway or whatever in a different interview, it's your work ethic. And I think, you know, coming from a small town, coming from a small area in North Dakota, it kind of puts that chip on your shoulder by design a little bit. How much did, you know, growing up in Sawyer, growing up in that small community of the Velva community, how did that kind of instill that work ethic for you at an early age? Because obviously it's a totally different kind of dynamic from even living and growing up in somewhere like Moorhead.
For sure. I think that like being young, like I always saw my family working super hard. Like my mom being a single parent for a while, especially growing up, I think that just being able to see how strong she was and how she didn't complain about nothing and she just worked through everything. And that was something that I took into my life and was just like, you just got to put your head down and work. And if there's things in life you truly want, like you just got to work for it and it'll happen. So I think that, yeah, like you said, being from a small town growing up on, you know, they say grit and spit, whatever you want to call it. But I had a lot of pride being from Velva and being from a small school and definitely being a place that, like, North Dakota is definitely an overlooked state probably for athletics and just not as big. Obviously there's not as many opportunities, but I always knew, like, growing up, I wanted to do great things with my life. Like, I always knew I could play good football. I always knew that at the end of the day, wherever I ended up playing football, I was going to be a great player. And I think when I came to Moorhead, it was just that fact of, like, just whining so hard to better not only myself, but better the program. And I think a lot of that just comes from the willingness to never quit and never give up. And that's just something that was definitely instilled for me from a young age of just that want to get better, that want to just work my butt off every single day. And there's just so many people obviously along the way that helped me with that. So being able to push myself and then see how it affects other people in a positive way and makes them want to push harder is something that definitely motivated me as well.
And tell me about who you modeled your game after, because I think it's, you know, like you said, you play running back, you come in and play wide receiver, but a little bit undersized for both of those positions a little bit. You know, when you're watching football on TV, whether it be a college or a pro, I mean, obviously the comparisons that everybody brings are, you know, your Edelmans, your Danny Woodheads, your et ceteras. Who are those players growing up that you kind of modeled the way you play after a little bit?
When I was really little, we always watched the Vikings, and I loved Adrian Peterson. Like, he just ran so hard and stuff. And then as I got older into high school, I became a Carolina Panthers fan. And then I loved Christian McCaffrey. I loved him in college when he played at Stanford. And that was someone that I always thought, like, he played running back. He caught the ball out of the backfield. He kind of was just a Swiss Army knife and could kind of do it all. So I always looked to him and thought that he was super awesome. And then Steve Smith is one of my favorite receivers ever. And he was a guy that always had a chip on his shoulder, a huge edge. Like, he always played with such competitive edge. And I think that was something that I always tried to do and model myself after, was just, like, at the end of the day, like, I just love to compete. And I love to just go out there and just try to go win in any sort of rep, any sort of drill, whatever the case is. And that was something that I always gravitated towards people like that. And when I first came in, there was a couple of receivers in the room that every rep, they gave it everything. And looking at those guys and being like, yeah, like, I love to compete. I love sports and that. I love that aspect of sports of just competing. So I always gravitated towards guys that had that fire and that competitive drive in them.
And take me through your decision-making process and coming to MSUM. Because, I mean, obviously I think one thing that I've learned, you know, working here is our program is so transparent throughout that recruiting process. And that's a little bit different compared to maybe some other schools if you're taking official visits, et cetera. What about the recruiting process said to you, MSUM is the place that I need to be? This is the place where I want to continue my athletic and academic career.
Yeah, for sure. MSUM is definitely just transparent about everything, whether it's with them, whether it's with other schools. They're very open and they kind of help you along the way, even if it ends up not being the place that you choose. But I started coming to Moorhead and coming to games when I was like a sophomore in high school. Shad Vita was a guy from my high school in Velva, and he ended up coming here to play. So I would come up here and watch his games, or during the summer when I would come to camps, so I would come up here and stay at his house. And so I got a pretty good taste of MSUM football at a young age in high school, and that was something that I was able to basically build a relationship with guys on the team, and I wasn't even part of the team yet, and that was something super awesome. But then just the culture and the way that people are here, like a lot of the values that this team has is just a lot of the values of the way I was raised, and coming in obviously as choosing to play wide receiver, I knew that we definitely throw the ball more now than they did before my time here and my teammates' time here now. But I always knew that this offense was something that we're going to sling the ball around. And I thought, well, there's no better place I'd want to be than somewhere who's going to throw the ball 45, 50 times a game. So that definitely played a big role. But just being able to come in and sit down and be super personable with the coaches, like coaches knowing not only my name, my mom's name, like stuff about my family, and then just Coach Lockway, the way he preaches just about obviously the football, the ins and outs of football, but also just about everything that goes along with it. Like we talk a lot about now, the secret of football isn't about football, and I think he did a great job of just pursuing or portraying the message of what the true values of this program were, and it was just something that really resonated with me, and I thought that this was a place where I would fit in.
Yeah, and redshirt rules have changed so much even throughout your career. You were one of probably the last I was able to take a full redshirt year rather than, you know, the 3-4 game rule that we have now. Take me through the importance of that first year for you, because I think not only are you growing in the weight room, but also you're getting a feel for how the program works both schematically and also, you know, in and out day-to-day type of stuff. How important was that for you, and kind of how did that lead into your redshirt freshman year where you immediately step in and start to make an impact a little bit?
Yeah, I think the freshman year for me, when I ended up redshirting right away, I remember being like, oh, I just want to play. And it definitely frustrated me. But then when I was able to look back on it, like it was definitely the most beneficial thing for my career. I think being able to take that full year, like you said, not to only develop physically and stuff, like I think I put on like 10, 15 pounds, whatever the case was, but just being able to develop as a receiver as well. I stepped in, like once we had the redshirt group, I immediately wanted to be a leader in our class, and I tried to step into that role to push the guys around me. But I also was able to just sit back and every Saturday just kind of watch the games, obviously as a spectator, like being a ball boy, whatever the case was, but being able to like see the game and like hear about it. Obviously, like I was very fortunate to, even though I was redshirting, I was still able to go to a lot of the practices and compete with the guys who were starting at that time. So I think that development of just being able to learn from those older guys and be able to take those reps that were, even though they were practice reps, they were against like some of the top players on our team. And I think that was something that just being able to understand the speed of the game, because obviously as you go to each level, the football is going to get faster and faster. And I remember that first time I stepped on the field for that first play, I was like, oh yeah, the speed of this is definitely changing. But being able to adjust and adapt right away just off of the stuff I learned was something very helpful. So I think my redshirt year, looking back on it, was something that definitely was crucial into my development, and then being able to obviously perform right away.
And you use the word adaptability. I mean, able to adapt right away, come in, I believe over 100 catches your freshman year, redshirt freshman year, excuse me. MSUM school record. I can't imagine that coming into that, maybe you had those high goals for yourself, but at the end of that freshman year, looking back on the production that you were able to have, was it surprising, or was it, I knew that this was going to come. I knew that, you know, my hard work was going to pay off and I was going to see the results there.
I would say, I don't know if I would say surprised. I think more so I was in the fact of like, I knew I wanted to be a great football player, and I always thought that I could achieve great things in college. And when it gets to the end of every season and I get past that sad part of it being over, and I'm able to look back and reflect on it, like I always think like, more so, what could have I done more? Like, there's always more to do. Like, Coach Martin always says a thing that if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And that's something that I definitely thought about a lot too. But being able to look back, I always take every rep, try to take every day with giving it all I got. So at the end of my freshman year, looking back, like I just thought like, hey, this is what I set out to do. Like, I wanted to be a great player. I wanted to try to help this team win in any way possible. Like, yeah, I probably did definitely exceed my expectations a little bit coming in. Like, didn't know what to expect or how college would go. But as soon as I started getting a feel for the game and figuring out like, yeah, well, I know I can be a great player. Like I'm starting to figure out reads and reading the defense and knowing where I need to be, especially in an offense like we have where it's a lot of just options and figuring stuff out like that. So I was at the end of my freshman year, I was just more hungry for more. Like I just knew that even though I'd already accomplished a couple really cool things, that I was already ready for that next year to go out there and just try to prove it again.
And that redshirt freshman year in 22, I mean, play part of the season with Tommy Falk under center, then Jack takes over, I think, around that Augustana, Winona State time frame, I think might have been roughly halfway through the year. What were the differences between those two guys? Because obviously we've talked to Jack a lot, but also Tommy Falk, you know, he's no slouch either. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he still has the NSIC record for completion percentage in a game. What was different between those two guys, and kind of what do you think they brought to the table for you as a receiver throughout that first year?
For my first year, Tommy was a huge help, especially that summer leading into my first year playing in 2022, of just like trying to understand defenses. And he did a really good role. And like anytime I wanted to do stuff, he always showed up for extra work. And he just did a really good job of helping me with the mental side of football. Obviously, the physical stuff just comes once you're in the game and playing. But Tommy was a guy that showed up every day, and he worked hard, and I had a lot of respect for that, and just the way that he carried himself as a leader on the team. So having Tom right away, like I trusted him a lot, and I like you said, like he still holds that record. He did a great job. But then obviously you have someone like Jack step in, who's a one-on-one type player, obviously probably one of the best to ever do it here in the NSIC. So immediately, like just the way they deliver the ball, Tom's arm strength versus Jack's, or just the release of the ball, like getting used to that, and just timing and stuff, I feel like was the biggest thing. Like I feel like with each quarterback you work with, obviously thankfully I've only had to play with two in my career, and there's never been anything crazy happening, but just like timing I think is the biggest thing with the difference between the two. Like whether it was a deep out running in with Tom, maybe the ball's going to be coming at this speed or this angle, and with Jack it's going to be maybe coming a little bit faster, or the timing I think was definitely the biggest thing when it came to the differences between the two. But as soon as Jack stepped into that role, and me and him kind of just talked to each other, and we worked every day afterwards, and we were like, we're gonna figure this out and get things rolling. So,
and you know, I think everybody who has followed this program throughout your guys' careers saw a huge shift in how the offense plays from your redshirt freshman to your sophomore year. I mean, numerous school records for yourself, for Jack, for the whole offense as a whole. It just seemed like something clicked. What was that? And was it just a matter of getting more reps in with Jack? Was it just a matter of getting to know, you know, your Maddens, your BPs, finding their roles on the team? What was kind of that difference maker heading into 2023? Because I think you can see just by the numbers, there was a huge uptick in what you guys were doing from year one to year two a little bit.
For sure. I think freshman year was a lot of just everything was moving a million miles a minute. And like as a offense, especially, I think we had like seven freshmen or true freshmen or redshirt freshmen playing. I can't remember the exact number. So it was a lot of guys just growing together and trying to just figure out the game at the same time. So I think that kind of helped, like first year struggles maybe as a team was a lot of that, just young guys trying to step into roles. And then I think that second year coming into 2023, our sophomore year, after we all kind of had a year under our belt and then got that offseason to fully work together with, you know, Jack as our starting quarterback, and then we had that whole offseason together, I think guys just got more comfortable together. And then now the guys had already had a full year of experience going into it. It wasn't like, oh, we're testing the waters here. It's like, oh, we're here and we're ready to go. And I think that it's just a testament to the time that guys put in the offseason and just the willingness to want to get better. And I think that once we started rolling that year of 2023, like things started clicking, and then we're such a rhythm team that once we get going, it's hard to stop it for sure. So I think in 2023 we started to find our groove, and like you said, guys like, you know, Carter, BP, Madden, whoever the case was, they finally got their footing too, and it was like, oh, okay, these guys are gonna go out there and make some big time plays. And I think that was just something that we all kind of got that connection and that fluidity together.
And you know, I think it pays off. We talked about, you know, the numbers and the statistics, which, you know, we go 7-4 in 2023, which is a successful year for us. Going into 2024, it's now we're beating ranked teams. We're looking at, you know, beating a Duluth, beating an Augustana, who were both in the top 25 at the time when we played them. Things that haven't been done in the Division II era Dragon football. What do wins like that mean to you guys? And obviously that last season was a bit of an up and down affair. But obviously you pick up huge wins, and also a lot of those wins are come from behind, nail biter type of moments. Do you think that kind of conditioned you guys a little bit to, you know what it feels like to win? Like, did it make you feel comfortable in terms of like, okay, we know how to win these close games. We know how to beat these really good teams. Now let's see what we can do from there.
For sure. I think that, like if we could get the ball back with a minute left in any game, and I've got full confidence that we're going to go out there and win it. And I think it just shows a lot about our team's resilience and just determination to, like, you always find a way. Like, that's a big thing with the Dragon program, is the whole find a way attitude. And I think we really tapped into that as a team, of just that unconditional buy-in of, like, every guy, just that true belief every game that we're going to be able to get stuff done. And with those big games, like you said, like the Duluth and Augustana one, like, I remember after the Duluth game, I was just being able to see the smile and the reaction on just our coaches' faces. Like, I think that's something that meant the most to me, because there was guys in that program like Abe, who'd played here and now he's coached here forever. He's been a great coach for us, and he's never got to experience that feeling. And then being able to see the smile on his face and his reaction after a game like that, like, that was something that I'll remember that forever. And I think it's just a testament to how this program has stepped forward over these last couple of years. I think that we've definitely gained a lot of respect, especially in the NSIC, and then hopefully around the whole NCAA and Division II over these last years. But I'm just very proud of to where this program has came and how well that guys have been able to perform in clutch situations. I mean, like you said, like over these last couple of years, we had a lot of nail biters come from behind victories or whatever the case is. And I think that it's just a testament to the work that guys put in and just the complete buy-in from this team. And like all guys, like I know when I look across, whether it's on the sideline, whether it's on the field, like no matter who I'm looking at, I can look them in the eyes and they're going to have that same belief. There's never a wavering of doubt or anything like that. So it's just been a very special group of people for sure.
And I want to take some time, because I want to talk about your position coaches. Obviously, you've gone through Chase Montplaisir up until the 2024 season. Obviously, Coach Martin is in that position now. What have those two guys meant to you? And maybe, you know, what have been the differences? Because obviously, you got to know Chase really well over the course of 4 years. And then, you know, going into your final year here, you get that shift of a new position coach. What was the difficulties there? And also maybe what have both of those guys taught you throughout your career?
I think when we stepped in with Chase, because Chase's first year coaching the receivers was when my first year coming in. And I think he did a really good job of just being patient with us. Like, I mean, that freshman year, like we kind of said, it was crazy. It was hectic. And he definitely did a good job of just like giving us a lot of grace and helping us through. Chase is definitely a lot of a big picture guy. Like he knew ball and he knew everything to go along with that. So teaching us the ins and outs of kind of just that side of it. And he was always great with explaining to us like how stuff worked and within the offense. And then like going through all these years together, we were able to build, like, Chase was did a good job of being a coach and a friend at the same time. Like, there was always so much humor within the room. Like, he made coming to practice every day a lot of fun, and we were able to joke around. And it was great. And he definitely was great in the development for all of us. Like, we all, obviously, these 4 years of college, like, I'm a completely different person, not only for football, but just as a man, definitely have grown so much. And that's a huge testament to Chase, too, just helping us all step up into, like, a leadership role, especially, like, for myself, too, but just growing to be better people. And then when Coach Martin came in, I remember right away just being able to talk to him. I knew how much passion he had for the sport. He's been coaching for a long time, and I can just tell how much he cares about what we're doing. And that was huge when I first met him. And every single day when we come in, like, he teaches us the such minute, like, small things that make a difference. Like, he's very critical on all the stuff we do, and he's very, very analytical. And I think that's a big thing. Like, I'm a very harsh critic on myself. Like, I'm very very, very big on constructive criticism and always trying to just be perfect, and obviously never going to reach perfection, but that's something Coach Martin definitely strives for too, like down to the smallest details. I mean, we could have the same little clip pop up every day in meetings and he's still going to point it out, because he's like, I know you guys can get to this higher level, I know you guys can reach this potential. So I really love the fact of just how critical and how hard he is on those things. But he does a great job motivating us, and, you know, on game days, like, I always get fired up from his pregame speeches. And I'm very thankful for the relationship I've had with Chase and the one I still have with him. And then obviously this past year I've been able to build a special relationship with Coach Martin too, so I'm very thankful for that.
And, you know, you talk about your coaches, but also it's pretty rare that you're able to keep a wide receiver room as potent as ours together, especially now in you know, the landscape of college football. But for you, for Madden Thorson, for Brady Perryman, for Carter Bierenkot, even the younger guys like Kelly Johnson, for them to still remain in this program and make an impact is, you know, really a testament to you guys, I think. But for you, you know, playing alongside BP, you guys share a lot of records together. A lot of moments. I mean, I just kind of want to give you the floor and talk about BP because I know that you guys came in together and have been fighting tooth and nail throughout the last 5 years together. What has he meant to you, and kind of how has he helped you develop your game a little bit? Because obviously, you guys share a little bit of different strengths. You know, he's more of that downfield type of guy, but
For sure.
and Carson Elbert in there too. I'm not even mentioning everybody here. So.
Yeah, we've got such a special room. I think it's just a testament to the guys that have the buy into this program. Like you said, with the way college sports are and college football now, there's so many people leaving in and out of places, and it's just the love for the guys in the room. Like, I'm so thankful that I was able to be a leader in our room, and those guys can look to me as that person, and we have all built such like a special bond in there. Like, the amount of memories I have that I think of, most of them are just us goofing around, whatever the case is, obviously with the stuff on the field. But BP, I remember like freshman year when he first stepped in and got his red shirt pulled. Like, he was definitely new to it, trying to figure stuff out, and he immediately stepped in and made an impact in some big games freshman year. And me and him started hanging out outside of football and stuff a little bit more, and since then, like, he's been someone that outside of football I can always talk to, and like, we have such a close relationship, whether we can talk about sports, whether it's family, friends, whatever the case is. Like, that's been so awesome. But on the field, like, every time I look across from me and I see BP lined up, like, I know that he's gonna go out there and make a play. Like, anytime the ball's thrown his way, I think that he's gonna come down with it. And him being able to be able to have that, like you said, like, he's more of a deep threat, I'm kind of that underneath. It's such a good yin and yang mismatch. And he definitely teaches the team that you don't got to be the most vocal leader to be a leader. He leads by example every single day. He shows up, he puts his best foot forward. And I know that, like, if BP was playing on any other team, he would be getting the ball every single play. I think that he definitely deserves something like that with how special of a player he is. But I admire how he carries himself, because, like I said, we've been able to kind of have that back and forth with each other these past couple of years. And just the amount of grace he gives everyone on the team, and the way he's very composed and keeps himself together, is something that's huge too. And the way he's been able to help me throughout all these years, whether it's personally or on and off the field, I think that it's just that it's so much fun to play together. And like, every single game when we go out there, like, we're gonna go out there, we're gonna be great, we're gonna do this stuff. And like, I truly am thankful for the impact he's had on this team and also in my life. Like, he's definitely made me a better friend, a better teammate, a better person, both on and off the field. So it's definitely been a very special relationship.
And take me through kind of your mindset heading into this season, because coming in, obviously, NCAA Division II receptions record is in play, NSIC record receptions record is in play. I know those are things that are not on your purview maybe to start the season, but it's always conversation that's swirling around you a little bit. How do you kind of keep yourself grounded heading into this season, knowing that, you know, these pretty big milestones are sitting in front of you, ready to be taken? I mean, how did you kind of approach that a little bit?
A lot of things that I always think about is just individual records come with team success. And I know that if I wake up every day and I try to put my best foot forward for this team, I know that just by playing the game, like, I'm gonna get what's coming. And I think it's been such a blessing. Like, I've been able to step into a role on this team where I've been able to be a big playmaker, or maybe that number one option a lot of the time. So I feel like, oh, I'm never I don't ever feel like pressure a lot of the time from those records, because I just know that if I just keep being me and keep just working my butt off every day, that stuff will come with it. So I'm going to the season, obviously that stuff's in the back of my mind. Like, I talk about with my family and stuff. I know breaking that record last week meant a lot to them, having them there. And my mom just said it felt like it was a weight was lifted. Like, she was like, oh, I'm so thankful you finally got it. And I know she'd be happy whether I got it or not. But I feel like it's just every day. At the end of the day, all that matters is winning games, and all that matters is the relationships and the bonds we have on this team. And that's been most important for me. And I think that I definitely wouldn't be able to have a record like the NCAA Division II record without all those guys around me. So I think it's just honestly my teammates and everyone around me that allows me to be able to get this stuff done. Because, you know, whether it's practice reps, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's anything like that, I think that going into this season, I just knew that, like, hey, it's my last year of college football. Like, I just want to enjoy every moment I have, like, whether it's on the field, off the field. And we've been able to be successful throughout this year, and we're going to go into this game and hopefully be successful again this weekend. And yeah, the stats just come with it.
Yeah, and you know, on the flip side of it, you've gotten to see a lot of records as well. Obviously, you set some, but obviously, you get to see Jack Strand set every record probably ever. Brady Perryman, obviously, receiving touchdowns record, host of other records that have been set throughout this kind of core group of Dragon football players. What do you think, you know, on the other side of it, looking at that and seeing the success that Jack has had, what does that say to you for, of him as a player and his him as a teammate? Because I know you guys are really close, close friends off the field as well. What has he done that you've seen that has kind of elevated his game to the point where, okay, we're looking at him, he's the best quarterback in Division II? Like, yep. I mean, there's no question, right? Mm-hmm.
I mean, for sure. Yeah, I think that he's a guy too that Jack always puts the team first, and he's always thinking of how can we be better as a whole. And that's something that I admire so much about this team and about Jack too, is that obviously in the day and age of football today, like we said, like, I know Jack could have left and went anywhere he wanted and could have started anywhere he wanted, and he chose here. And we talked about that as a team, about like every guy here chose to be here for a reason. Like, this program is special, and like, Jack's a really special player. And I mean, I'm obviously very thankful that he chose to be here too. And just the way he carries himself, like, he never puts himself on a pedestal above other people. We're all the same here, and like, every guy's important, and he definitely does a really good job of doing that. And he's so personable with everybody, and he just does a great job of leading by example as well as leading vocally. And just every day he shows up, and he puts in the time, whether it's film, whether it's in the weight room, whatever the case is. Like, he's one of the hardest workers on this team, and he always pushes people. And like, quarterbacks, maybe people don't think they're tough or whatever the case is, and Jack's the toughest son of a gun I've ever met in my life. Like, the ability for him to just stand up after every hit and stuff, and just the way he's able to carry himself that way, it's definitely a huge motivation for other guys on the team. Being able to see someone like that who has, you know, all the talent in the world and could do anything with it, but he chose to be here, and he chose to choose this Dragon family and to choose this. And I think that's something that just makes all of us want to work harder. Like, I know that every time that we go out there, we always say, like, it's for this team, it's for the love of these guys, and Jack's definitely got a lot of that. So he's definitely elevated this program in ways that you can't imagine if he wasn't here. And I know as a wide receiver room, the bonds and the connection we've been able to have has been something that has obviously been historic over these years.
And take me through last Saturday. I mean, senior day, always an emotional day, but I think more so than ever, you know, 24 guys, that's a huge senior class. I mean, we're sending off some great players in our program's history. What were those emotions for you going through that, you know, pre-game warm-up, and then how'd you kind of lock in to say, okay, now we got to get to a game? Because I know there's that dichotomy a little bit of, okay, I'm really emotional for my senior day stuff, but then there's a game to play 10 minutes after. How'd you kind of handle that sort of process? Because I know it's an emotional day.
For sure. We talked about it earlier in the week, and Coach Lockway kind of said, like, we don't need guys crying in warm-ups and whatever the case is, and like, obviously this is such a special place, like Nemzik, like being able to play here and all that. And I remember just going into the game, like, I just tried not to think about it being the last one, and just trying to block that out. And we always knew, like, you just got to take care of business first, and then we can have that celebration and that party afterwards, like that banquet that we had with everybody. And I think that guys did a really good job of just focusing on the moment and living in the moment. And Lockway also talks about embracing the fragility of the moment. And obviously senior days are very fragile, a fragile day, and a day that is definitely something very special. So I just looked at it as another day. I try not to get too caught up in, oh, this is the last this, whatever the case is, and just try to be like, hey, this is just another Saturday. I get to go out there and do what I love to do with the guys that I love around me. So just the being able to try to just treat it as a regular day. Obviously, it sounds a lot more complicated than that, but just trying to go into it as another regular Saturday of just, hey, like, I just get to play football, and this is what I love to do.
It seemed appropriate, at least to me, that you were able to set that NCAA record in your last home game. It just seemed like that was a fitting moment, last game at Nemzik, able to set that record. What does having that record mean to you? I know you've touched on it multiple times here and multiple times in other interviews that individual records are not something that you're super concerned with. But, I mean, at a certain point, you'll have to look at it and say, I'm at the top of NCAA Division II in catches. I mean, what does having that record mean to you? And kind of once you got that fifth catch on Saturday, was it almost a little bit of a relief? Like you said, your mom had said that, but was it a little bit of a relief for you to get past that milestone a little bit?
Yeah, I remember this is probably like four weeks ago at this point, and I got to have some of my old high school coaches come to one of my games, and one of my old coaches kind of hinted at it, and he was like, hey, like, that record's going to be yours. You just got to give it time. And it was definitely something I had in the back of my mind and something I wanted to strive for. And in the game, when I ended up breaking it and catching that one, I wasn't even thinking about it. Like, I didn't even know it had happened. And I'm sitting there waiting to get the next play call in, and I hear the crowd start cheering and stuff. So I kind of assumed that was the moment. But I feel like it's still something I definitely haven't wrapped my head around and probably won't be able to until the season's over. But I'm just so thankful and grateful to just see hard work truly does pay off. And like, I wouldn't be able to get to this point without all the support groups around me, my teammates, my faith, my family, and all the friendships I have. And I think it's just a testament to, if you truly work for something, you can accomplish great things. Like we talked about earlier, like from a small town in North Dakota, like maybe an undersized kid, like a lot of people probably would look at someone like me and go, I don't know if this kid can make it or if this kid can do things like that. And I mean, if you truly believe in something, I think you can accomplish anything you do in life. So you just got to put your head down and work every day and not worry about the outside noise of anything. And it's definitely something I can be very proud of, and I can look back on and say like, hey, like, yeah, I did that. Yeah. And being able to say I've caught the most ever is, yeah, it's crazy thinking about how many people have came through and played college football, and you know, how many people continue to play it all the time. But oh man, I'm extremely grateful for the opportunities that I've had here my whole 4 years and of playing and just everything that has came with it.
And you know, very cool 2 minute timeout of that fourth quarter mark. Video gets played. You got family members, you know, saying congratulations. Seeing that up on the video board, I mean, how special was that for you? Knowing also too that a lot of those family members were in the stands too to see that moment.
It was awesome. I was definitely very taken away by it. Didn't know it was coming. They told me, yeah, make sure you're looking up at the video board here at that 2 minute timeout. And I'm like, what the heck is this about to be? And yeah, I mean, being able to see my family members say something like that, it was such a super special moment. It was just an overwhelming feeling of emotions, especially being able to see one of my dad's old teammates up there. That definitely hit me in my heart for sure. Like, I know my dad wasn't there physically being able to watch me, but I know he's watching over me always. And this is definitely definitely in that moment I was thinking, this is something that I know my dad will be very proud of me for, and something we'll be able to celebrate together one day. But yeah, that I'm very thankful that someone put together a video like that. I don't know who was all completely behind it, but it was awesome. And I know that meant a lot to my family too, being able to share something like that on such a special day. So I was very, very grateful for that.
And I don't want to pry too deeply, because I know it's, you know, an emotional topic, but obviously you brought up your dad. I think, you know, losing your father at a young age like that is, there's so many choices that you can make based off that. You can either go in a positive direction or a negative direction. How has you, you know, as you grew up and, you know, going through that scenario, how did you turn that into a positive outcome? To the point where you're playing Division II college football and you're successful at it. And beyond that too, obviously a fantastic student athlete altogether. How did you kind of get to that point to say, I'm going to turn this situation into a positive rather than have it affect you negatively, I guess?
Yeah. When I've been at a young age, definitely didn't understand it right away. And as I got older and kind of just understand, you know, life happens, like, you know, bad things happen to good people and vice versa, good things happen to bad people. But it was one of those things where it just made me take every day and just live in the moment a lot more. And football was always something where, like, my dad played football in college too. And when I was playing football, I always felt like I was connected to my dad. And it was always felt like something that, like, when I was playing football, I felt like him. And I felt like it was a way that, I was just going to be more like him. And every single day, like, when I woke up, like, you never know what's going to be your last day, your last moment. Like, you know, every day when you wake up is a blessing. So I think that I kind of had that thought of just like, why waste today? Like, you might as well take every rep like it's your last rep. You might as well take every game like it's your last game. And I just always wanted to make sure that he was proud of I was doing something positive with my life. And every single time I had a workout, I did a rep at practice, or I went through a game, like, I wanted him to be able to look down and be like, you know, Gage, I'm proud of the effort and the work you're putting in. Because obviously I didn't get to know my dad very well at all, but I've heard so many stories, and he impacted a lot of people in so many ways. And they always said, like, damn, your dad was a tough SOB, or your dad was such a hard worker. And I was like, I want to be that. Like, I want to be the toughest person. I want to be the hardest worker there is. And so yeah, for me, like, he's just such a huge motivation in my life, him and my mom. And it was always something that I never felt like he was truly gone. Like, I always feel like every day, like, he walks right with me. And he definitely just has pushed me my entire life of just wanting to be great like he was.
And maybe my last question is, I talked to Coach Lockway earlier in the week. Obviously, at the end of that senior banquet, you have your kind of one-on-one conversations. And Coach Lockway is, you know, to me, just one of the most tremendous leaders that I've ever encountered across any athletic team, anything. And I know those senior cards that he wrote for you are probably incredibly powerful, incredibly emotional. I mean, talk to me about the impact of Coach Lockway, because I know he doesn't want any of that credit, but he deserves that credit because he truly, like I said, truly one of the greatest leaders of men that I've seen. Talk to me about the impact that he's had on you.
Some indescribable. I remember like coming in right away as a freshman, like I had a lot of respect for Coach Lockway, and we didn't have a super, super close relationship coming in. And I always felt like when I was around him, I kind of had to like watch what I did or watch what I said, and didn't really know. But as I got older throughout college, me and him started talking one-on-one and just being able to have those conversations. And our relationship has grown so much over these years. But whether it's he can spin a message or he can listen to something and turn it into the most powerful speech possible, and that's something I always admired. But he cares so much about just doing the right thing, and I think that's something that we need most in this world today, is just people that are fighting the good fight. And he definitely has taught that to all of us every single day, like especially on Fridays when we do our faith message, like him being able to incorporate that in, like I could sit there and listen to him talk all day. And he's just done such a great job of just instilling belief, not only in the team, like, but like just every one of us personally, like every single day, like I want to play hard for him. Like I want to do great things for him because I know how much time and like how much effort he puts into this team. And like, I'm truly grateful and like forever in debt for all he's done for us, because I know that I got shaped into a better person because of him. I don't know if I'd be as good of a man I am today. I don't know if I'd be as good of a football player as I am today without him, and just his ability to bring us all together and fight for one common thing. Like I've truly never been on a team, and I don't think there truly is many teams, if any teams, that are as connected and united as the team we have. And that's a true testament to him and the culture that he's built and we've been able to build here. And like I think that true buy-in from everybody is something truly special. And like you said, him being as great of a leader as he is, if you truly follow what he's going to say and the values he has, like we've been able to accomplish such great things. And you know, I've just got so much respect for him. And we've this past year I started sharing music. He's never been a music guy, and we started sharing music together on and off, and little things here and there. And it's just
I have to know what the music is then, because I'm the same with you. I don't peg him as a guy that listens to music at all. So that's that.
Mostly for me, it's more so been me sharing stuff that I've been listening to. But each week we kind of have a theme that goes with it, and he'll put together a playlist of songs that kind of match the theme. So we'll send songs back and forth. Like one week when we were playing Northern State, it was all about light, bringing the light in. And so it was a bunch of songs related to light or shining bright and stuff. And it's just so little moments like that. It's just, it makes me and him feel like we just have an even closer bond, or that friendship there. But like every day, like when I step on the field, like I want to play hard for him, because I know how much he cares about like us. And like you said, with those letters at the end, like so much like overwhelming emotion came through me as he was able to read that to us. And be able to have that hug with him is something that I'm definitely gonna remember forever, and I'll definitely keep that handwritten note with me forever in my life. It's definitely something I'll go back and read and definitely be very proud of, because if a man who's that great thinks that highly of me, I feel like I'm doing a lot of the right things. So I'm very thankful for him.